Okay, let's get to the Mishnah. Wow. Woo. So, Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah had said, "V'ein ofen pitin gritzen el rikik," and you aren't allowed to bake on Yom Tov large, thick bread, but only thin bread. So the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbanan beishamay omrim, ein ofen pas ava b'Pesach uveis Hillel matirin." You can't bake thick bread on Pesach. Beis Hillel allows you to bake thick bread. The Kama Pasava, what exactly, how thick is thick? This is the assumption of the Gemara so far, that Ava means thick. So I'm Rav Huna, Tefach. It's a Tefach thick. Shekein Matzinu B'Lechem Aponim, Tefach. Because the Lechem Aponim was a Tefach thick. And therefore, this is Chav Beis Amud Beis. And therefore, matzah as well can be a tefach thick. Now, yes, this is, I gave you at the end, and I'm not going to get into it, but it's a fascinating topic. I've just given it twice in the last 5 weeks, so I don't want to get back into it, but I have it online, and I gave you the article it's based on. This is one of the sources that is discussed in the question of whether matzah was originally soft or hard. You know, the question of whether you can actually have matzah, which is a tefach thick, is part of that discussion. And that's at the end of the source sheet here. I give you a reference for the if you ever wanted to know anything about matzah, it's in this excellent article by Ari Zivotofsky and Ari Greenspan. Anything that Rabbi Dr. Zivotofsky writes is excellently done. He's superb, and he whenever he gets into a topic, he really gets into a topic. So he has this beautifully done article in Chakira on the thick and thin of the history of matzah. I gave you the reference to it. But yes, this question of whether matzah can be a tefach thick and still edible is obviously directly relevant to the question of whether matzah was always thick or thin. So, fine. So the Gemara says... Oh, sure. Right, so the Gemara says... Even though we're still in the Gemara, but so the Gemara says, yeah. So, a tefach... So Moscow of Yosef said, really... Im amru bizrizin, yom b'shein bizrizin. Look, I get it. In the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim, so they can make the bread a tefach thick, no problem on Pesach, right? But b'sheinin's reason. Well, what about outside the Beis Hamikdash? You want people to be making matzah that thick, right? They're not as expert. They're not as alacritous as the Kohanim. Im amru b'pasa meila. If we're talking about bread that's constantly being worked, Yom Rupasha Einameila, would you say the same thing about bread that isn't always being worked? Therefore, it's sitting, it's going to become chametz faster. Yom Rupasha Einameshim, Yom Rupasha Lachim, right? It depends what type of wood you use. The hotter the wood, so fine, it'll bake faster and it won't become chametz. Yom Rupasha Rucham, Yom Rupasha Ratzonin, what if it's a hotter oven? Out of wood, etc. Imamru b'tanur shol matechet, yamru b'tanur shol cheres. It depends on a metal, right? If it's a metal oven, so sure it'll be hotter, but not if it's one of cheres. So you can't just set a blanket rule like that. It's going to depend on situation, on how fast things are baking, how fast they're being kneaded, to see whether you can actually make bread that's that thick. So Amar of Yirmiyah Baraba Shalas is Rebbe b'yichud umanu Rav. So I asked Rabbi Yehud, who is this? I asked Rav, right? Meaning Yehud, meaning privately. And who did I ask? I asked Rav. He said, my pasava. What is pasava? Does it really mean that we're talking about thick, thick bread? Is that what the sugya is about? So he said, no. The chiddush here is not about thickness of bread. It's pas miruba. It's about quantity of bread. And Ikad Amri Amar of Yirmi Baraba Marav Shelis is Rabbi Yehud Umanu Rabbeinu Akadosh. My pasava pas miruba. My karu le pasava. So if we're talking about a lot of bread, then why you say thick bread? Mishum dinafisha belisha, because when you bake a lot of bread, so your dough is thick because you're kneading a lot, right? You're then dividing into, you're subdividing it. But the chiddush here isn't that you can't bake thick bread or thick matzah on Yom Tov or Pesach. The chiddush is instead that you can't bake a lot of bread on Yom Tov. Forget about Pesach, just on Yom Tov. Inami alternate basre dahai tana pas miruba pas avakarlo. That was just linguistically how they referred to a lot of bread was thick bread. So, and why is this asur? So it's not because of Pesach. It's mishum de katarach tircha de lo tzarechu. So the Gemara says it's because he is working too much, right? Baking 100 loaves of bread is just a lot of work. So the Gemara said, if that's the case, my area Pesach, why would you even say you can't bake it on Pesach? I understood originally, the Gemara had thought, you can't break bread, which is too thick, mit matzah. We can't make lechem, which is too thick, right? Because it won't be, it'll rise by the time you get a chance to bake it, and therefore it'll be chametz, and you can't do that on Pesach. So I understand why we're talking about Pesach, but once we transition, we're talking about thick matzah to a lot of bread. So why? What difference Pesach or Yom Tov? Shul b'shamim tamim nami. The Gemara says, "Inachanami." You're right. That's true. But tanim b'Yom Tov to Pesach, and it just happened to be the story happened on Pesach. Tanim b'Hachay b'shamim rifin pas meruba b'Yom Tov v'itzel matirin. Okay. So what happened? This Gemara. The Gemara had this statement: you can't bake pas ava. What does that mean? The Gemara had two possibilities. The first possibility is you aren't allowed to bake thick bread, I mean more than a tefach or more on Pesach. Why? Because it'll become bread and not matzah. Why? Because thick bread, it takes a while to bake, right? Again, I'm using bread in the Torah sense, right? Lechem, right? Which could mean chametz or matzah. If you have a dough and it's thick and you're baking it, so it takes a while and it's going to rise by the time you finish, and it takes a while to knead. So on Pesach, there's a gzera against it. So anything up to a tefach is fine, but beyond that, you can't bake on Pesach.
And then the Gemara... Who says that?
The first position of the Gemara.
Is that Beit Shammai's
position? I mean, Beit Shammai, meaning the first position of the Gemara is that that's the machlokas, is whether or not you can make this thick bread.
He says the kamapat ava, that's for Beit Shammai we're asking.
Yeah, meaning the first position...
doesn't matter.
Correct. The first position of the Gemara is that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing about whether you can do it on Pesach. Beit Hillel says it's fine. Beit Shammai says you can't do it, but their argument is about how thick can your matzah be on Pesach. The Gemara rejects it, because the Gemara said you can't make...
But if that was true, Beit Hillel's position would be the matzah could be any thickness you want.
Correct. It could be as thick as you want. But then the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says it can't be. Meaning, I understand that maybe Beit Hillel allows you to make thicker, in theory, he could make thicker one, but you can't make a rule like that. Meaning, okay, so the lechem aponim could be a tefach, but really, Beit Hillel is just going to wave his hand and say, yeah, you can make matzah as thick as you want on Pesach. Well, you can't. Meaning, in the Beit HaMikdash, you could make it a tefach, and it would remain matzah, not chametz, because the Kohanim were expert, and they were making only a limited quantity of bread. But how much are you making? How expert are you? Right? But even Beit Hillel is going to have to admit that on Pesach, you got to have, the standards might be different. Beit Shammai might think, So the Gemara then rejects the whole discussion. The Gemara says, no, when we talked about Pas Ava, we didn't mean, right, Beis Hillel, I take that back. According to the Gemara, Beis Hillel thinks you can bake it up to a tefach. Beis Shammai thinks it has to be less, right? That's how Rashi understands it. Hmm. Right? Bekama Pas Ava, she'atiru Beis Hillel. Right? Beis Hillel allows you to make thick bread, but only up to a tefach. Beis Shammai thinks it has to be thin. Right, let's start that again.
That's Rashi's creative way of learning the Gemara.
Oh,
presumably because if we fuss like Beit Hillel, so what do we care with?
So we haven't gotten to this. We'll see in a moment what we actually do. Well, we'll see what we do with this in the end. But the least way Rashi understands it, right, is that Beit Hillel thinks you can bake a tefach bread on Pesach. Beit Shammai thinks you cannot. And then the Gemara rejects this, and the Gemara says, how could Beis Hillel just be so, cavalier about it? Just because you could do it in the Beis HaMikdash doesn't mean you can necessarily do it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe you could, maybe you can, but it's going to depend. You'd have to qualify it. You have to say, if you have a hot oven, you have dry wood, you have expert bakers, you have enough people working it, blah, 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 blah. You'd need to set the standards. The Gemara says, forget it. This discussion had nothing to do with Pesach. It was a Yom Tov discussion. And the Gemara's question was as follows. Can you or can you not bake a lot of bread at once on Yom Tov? Why would you say no? So you would say no because it's too much of a tircha. It's just too much, right?
And we already learned before that you could put a lot of bread in the oven because it makes it bake better.
Ah,
now,
so
if you're able to make the dough to bake a lot of bread in the oven, then that whole argument is moot.
Perfect. So according to the Gemara's Maskana, that the issue at hand in the Gemara is: are you allowed to bake a lot of bread? Right? Or can you only bake a limited number of bread? So then obviously the question we have to ask is, wait a second, we've heard this discussion before. The Gemara has already told us, not only can you bake bread, you can bake a lot of bread, even bread you don't even need. Well, I mean, it's a machlokas, whether you're allowed to break bread you don't need. According to Rishon Elazar, you can, because it makes all the bread in the oven.
Correct, but it wasn't based on my Beis Hillel that argued that.
Correct, it had nothing to do with this. right? So all the Rishonim pick up and say, wait a second. According to the second day in the Gemara, that the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is, are you allowed to bake a lot of bread? We've been here before, and no one brought up that there's a Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, right? We had a Machlokes, and Daf Yud Zayin, whether in the context of Ribui Shiurin, right? So we had paskened that. You're definitely allowed, if you're making soup, to make as much of a soup as you want in one big pot. You can't make a separate pot if you don't need it, but even if you need one bowl of soup, you can make as big a pot as you want. Baking was a machloka. Some said you can't bake extra because each loaf of bread is independent, and others said, no, you can, because the more loaves of bread you make, the better it is. But no one in that Gemara even had a havamina that if you need 100 loaves of bread, that you couldn't bake 100 loaves of bread, right? Our Gemara seems to suddenly say that according to Beis Shammai, at least, you can't bake a lot of bread, even if you need a lot of bread, right? But our Gemara, before, the only machlokas was, can you bake bread that you don't need? Here, the Gemara suddenly introduces this notion that you aren't allowed to put in too much effort, exert yourself too much on Yom Tov, and therefore you have to avoid baking tremendous quantities of bread, period, end of story. So all the Rishonim jump on this and say, what is going on, right? How did we get from Daf Yud Zayin, where we have a machlokas of, are you even allowed to bake bread you don't need, to suddenly on Daf Chav Beis, where we have a machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, are you allowed to bake bread that you do need, right? Where Beis Shammai says, no, even bread you do need, you aren't allowed to bake, right, if there's too much of it. So how did we get here? What exactly is going on? So that's the first issue we have to take up. And this, I put very sort of minimal sources on it, because the question sort of glares at you. So this is really Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says as follows. If you look at the truth is you can just look at Tosfos, right? Tosfos quotes Rashi, so we'll just see both in one shot. Right? Tosfos is in Nefisha Belish, right? The one Tosfos in the page. So he says, there's a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Perush Rashi. Uvehil matirin mishum da amar shemin alazar mimalea isha tanur pas vichule. Right, Rashi says that this is not a machlokas, as I just said it, about whether or not you're allowed to bake bread that you do need. Everyone agrees you can bake bread that you do need. Right, there can't be a position that you aren't allowed to bake bread that you do need. There's no such thing. The only possible machlokas is the machlokas we already saw in Daf Yud Zayin, which is, are you allowed to bake bread that you don't need in the same oven as bread that you do need, on the assumption that it makes it makes all the bread in the oven bake better. Right? That's a machlokas we already know. So Rashi just said, it's the conservation of shitot, right? Is we know that there is such a machlokas. It must be that Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is a function of that machlokas. Why is Beis Hillel Beis Shammai not quoted in Yud Zayin? I don't know. But Rashi just says it's the same thing. When Rashi says don't bake a lot of when Beis Shammai says don't bake a lot of bread, what he means is don't bake bread that you don't need. When Beis Hillel says you can bake a lot of bread on Yom Tov, what he means is you can bake bread you don't need as long as it's in the same oven because it improves the quality. Meaning Beis Hillel is just a reiteration of Shem Ben Elazar, right? That you are allowed to fill up an oven with bread that you don't need to improve the quality of the one loaf that you do need. Beis Shammai challenges that just like the other positions. They're going Daf Yud Zayin, and that's it. Right? I mean, Daf Chav Beis and Daf Yud Zayin are the exact same Gemara in different words. Right? There's a machlokes. Can you bake bread you don't need? Beis Hillel says yes. Beis Shammai says no. Rav Shimon Elazar says yes. Right? Whoever it was there, Chachamim, whoever it was, right, says no. That was it. Right? That's it. Rashi just reduces the two Gemaras into the exact same machlokes. But Tosfos doesn't like it because, for the obvious reasons, is what are you talking about? Our Gemara doesn't bring that up, right? Our Gemara, Daf Yud Zayin, Daf Chav Beis, they just, right? They don't mention each other, they don't talk about it, they don't touch on each other, nothing. This is Veloni Hira. Chado Adim Ken Havel Lasuye Hadir Rishim and Elazar. First of all, that just makes no sense because why didn't you mention it, right? If this is just another Machlokas Tanayim, then tell us that, right? Kevin de Plugtayu Bahachi, right? There's a Machlokas Tanayim just a few blot ago. If this is the same as Vizil by Shammai, someone should have said something. Besides, they have nothing to do with each other. So he said, you know what? Forget it. Rashi, and that was how I had interpreted the Gemara the first time, says that the question in our Gemara is whether you're allowed to bake a lot of bread quantity-wise. Right? Tosa says no. What does that have to do with anything? Who would ever tell you can't bake a lot of bread? What if you need a lot of bread? Right? you need a lot of bread, you're allowed to bake a lot of bread. If you don't need a lot of bread, then obviously you're not allowed to bake a lot of bread, except if it's maybe if it's enough to fill up the oven, as per the Machlokas and Daf Yud Zayin. Tosa says the second half of the Gemara is similar to the first half of the Gemara. The first half of the Gemara, when the Gemara still thought we were talking about Pesach, assumed that the Machlokas, the issue at hand, was how thick can your bread be on Pesach because of Chametz. Tosa said the second half of the Gemara rejects the notion about it's about Pesach, but never rejected the notion that it's about thickness of bread. The question goes like this: Hainu pitim gidolim bioter va'osel etzarachol hol ve'ein bo torach kolkach v'hachem mashma b'Yerushalmi mitoch she'atem miyago mimaneh ve'ein osa elakidei tzarko depaskaton yesh bo torach yoser me'arisas kol echad ve'echad uvein gritzin uvein rekikin hainu kidei tzarachol bilvad. The question is like this. Let's say you need one loaf of bread, right? Or not one loaf of bread, right? Let's say you need, you have a two-day yantiv in front of you, right? Okay, I'm going to leave it. You have a yantiv and a Shabbos. Okay, let's leave aside the question of two-day yantiv, fine? So you know you need lechem mishnah tonight, you need lechem mishnah tomorrow, you need lechem mishnah on Shabbos, you need lechem mishnah on Shabbos lunch, you need lechem mishnah, you know, you want lechem mishnah shalosh shudis, right? I don't know, maybe you're Hasidish and you want every person, every male to have lechem mishnah in front of them. I don't know what you want, right? Fine, you want a lot of loaves of bread. What's the problem? If you make a million rolls, then what's going to happen if people want more bread? So you have to make an extra 10 rolls. And what happens if you want to have extra bread left over on Motzei Yom Tov, right? All the rolls are going to disappear. So what could you do? Instead of making rolls, make each one a full challah, right? And this way, right, at each meal, so you have, you know, for Lechem Mishnah, you have your two big challahs, and then Motzei Yom Tov. Now, you really do need all those loaves, right? You need Pashlema for Lechem Mishnah, but at Motzei Yom Tov, you know, you're going to have a lot of leftover bread. Bezhillel, Machlokas Shammai Bezhillel, according to Tosfos, is, are you allowed to do that, right? Are you allowed to bake larger loaves of bread than you actually need, right? You know, make eight, right, each loaf bigger, right? So look back at Tosfos. He says, Hainu pitim gdolim biyoter, v'ozeh letzorech chol, right? You're doing it in mind for chol, right? So you have leftover bread when Yom Tov's over. V'ein v'torech kol kach, but isn't, how much extra work does it really take to make a bigger loaf of bread than a smaller loaf of bread? It's not so much more. So the machlokas is as follows. Beishamai thinks that you aren't allowed to make such big loaves of bread, because if we're going to let you bake all these loaves of bread, then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be baking with kavana to be baking for chol, right? You're just going to have in mind that I'll make a big challah so that I can have, I don't know, French toast with challah, you know, a big, you know, French toast breakfast on Sunday morning after a two-day or a three-day yantif, right? So Beishamai doesn't want you to bake big bread. He wants you to bake little loaves, so that you know I'm baking the bread for Yom Tov, right? I'm not baking these huge breads so that I can have three slices at each meal and then leave the rest so I have bread for the rest of the week. Beis Hillel says, no, that's fine, right? That's fine. Meaning, if you need loaves of bread, so who cares? Once you're making the loaf of bread, make it small, make it big, big deal, right? It doesn't, even if in the back of your mind you're thinking, oh, I'll have leftover bread after Yom Tov, that's fine.
The logic there, we've already had that. You can make a pot on Yom Tov where you make a lot extra, knowing that you're going to have from that pot afterwards, and that's not a problem. And here you're actually eating from that bread. So
that's what Beis Hillel holds. Beis Shammai is more machmir. He says we don't want to create a situation where your whole kavana is...
Even
for a big pot, he would say...
Well, as we saw, bread might be a little bit different, right? Because a pot, we say, is one tircha, but bread really isn't, right? As the Bavli notes and the Yerushalmi makes more explicit, the problem that Beis Shammai has is that, you know, it's one thing to throw everything into a pot, right? When once you're making, you know, you're making a chicken soup, right? Doesn't matter how much water you add. You put the carcass in, and then you add 3 cups of water, you add 10 cups of water. How much more work does it take to make a big soup over a small soup, right? But a bread, right? If you make a small little roll, you know, it's, I don't know, even if you braid it, it's 2-3 braids, right? If you make, you know, those 20-foot long, you know, wedding challahs, you know, it's like, it's, according to Beis Shammai, it's basically, look, for Yom Tov, all you needed was, you know, the first three braids, and then the next 17 feet worth of braids, you know, you're just thinking chol, right? So Beis Shammai doesn't like it. We reject it. I mean, Beis Hillel rejects it, so it's a big deal. Right, Beis Shammai is more machmir, but that's Tosfos is chiddush. Meaning, there's no implication al chalmaisa because he says we reject Beis Shammai. But
I thought what Tosfos is saying here, based on the words here, is that the argument is whether, let's say you need 10 rolls, you have 10 small rolls, right? Can you big, and let's say those 10 small rolls are 10 square amot, inches or feet or something. Can you bake one big bread with 20 square amot or feet? In other words, double the size. So you're making much more bread than you need, but do it in one big bread. And that one big bread has less tircha than the 10 small breads. So even though you're exceeding the number, you're reducing your tircha.
Is that what he says? Let's see. Oh, low down in quality.
Let's see what's Beit Hillel saying. Beit Hillel saying, oh yeah, go ahead and do whatever you want. Instead of taking 10 small rolls, make 10 big rolls, you'll have a lot of bread left over. But I think there's
I mean, that's what Beit Hillel said.
Yeah,
you can do what you want.
So
no, Beit Hillel says for sure you can do one. He says, only call peace and greet.
I think Beit Hillel's rationale is that since there's so much work done for each little roll, that even if you want to bake something that's you want twice as much bread as you want, but you put it in one big roll, then that's allowed on Yontif. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of bread left over for chol. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the tircha is much less. So why should I say to you, oh, you know, you can't bake that one big roll, but you can bake 10 small rolls, which is twice as much work. In other words, you make him work harder.
Maybe that's what it is. That I'm not sure. Right, I'm not sure
says,
whether.
Pat katan yeshbo torach yoter barisa kol echad vechad. So it's better to make a thick one. There's much like tircha. Now you have a lot of stuff left over.
So I'm not sure, right? I mean, I hear what you're saying. That maybe what Beis Hillel is saying, according to Tosfos, is that the chiddush is you can make as long as you're baking for chol, you can make one big loaf because at the end of the day, right, making one huge loaf is less work than making 20 small loaves. I mean, Lemaskan, I think Beis Hillel doesn't care either way, right? I mean, I don't care. Beis Hillel seems to say you can make one big loaf, you can make a bunch of small loaves, it doesn't really make a difference to whatever you want, right? As long as you aren't baking loaves you don't actually need.
Or it's even possible that Tircha making a big loaf is less.
No, I hear what you're saying. You think, right.
Even one big loaf might make less Tircha than one small loaf. It's like, you know, it's like making a Swiss watch or a big watch. Sometimes making something big is much easier.
Right.
He certainly mentions there's certainly a gear in making these small rolls.
Maybe that's what he means, or maybe. I had read it the other way, but maybe you're right. The Kamar Hainu Pitu Gendol Yosef Ose Tzorachol Ho'ol Fe'in Bo Torach Kol Kach Ochim Ashim Rishalmi Toch She'atam Miyag O Mimanea Ve'in Ose Kedei Tzorko De Bas Kadon Yisro. Maybe. I think maybe you are right. That what Beis Hillel is saying is that
sure,
you can make... I don't think the other thing is not true, right? I mean, I think according to Beis Hillel, I think you could do that also. Beis Hillel doesn't put any limitations, but maybe you're right. The Beis Hillel says, look, making big loaves is fine because making big loaves is easier. And it doesn't matter if it's l'chol, because at the end of the day, making big loaves, one big loaf is easier than making small. And I think according to Beis Hillel, he also holds that you can make as many, loaves as you need. I mean, I think both are true.
The one before it.
But maybe you might be right.
Because he feels that making one big loaf is not that much greater.
Rich, I'm not sure. It could go either way here.
One big loaf is not much greater than making a small loaf.
Right.
So, but if you make one big loaf, you don't have to make so many small loaves. So right away, you're reducing your tircha.
Right. So I'm just not sure. Right. Ein bo tarach kol kach is to make bigger loaves is not such a big. I mean, right. Tosa's own language sounds like right that making big loaves is not so much more of a tircha. So we let you make extra, loaves extra big for Yom Tov. The Yerushalmi sounds a little bit more like what you're saying. We let you make a big loaf because one big loaf, even if it has extra flour in it, is easier to make than a bunch of small loaves. So I'm not sure. I can see it, right? Toz's own formulation sounds more like the first, but as you see, the Marshal also thinks that there's a bit of a Girsa issue here in Tosos, Right, if you can look at that tiny one, right? The pas meruba the gamar lav biyoser mikdei starko kamar elahainu pitim chain sarach lomar. So I'm not really sure.
But if you go with Sam's reading of the Tosfot, then the case of the big pot doesn't make sense. Because the issue with Beit Shammai is strictly they were doing something for coal. And so he should have been arguing there and saying the big pot is not the believer.
Well, no, because bread might be different, right?
Not according to the way Sam.
No, I understand, right. Meaning, I understand, right? Because you would say, well, yeah, it's easier in the end of the day to make one big loaf. I mean, that was why I tended towards the first formulation from Tosos. But here what you're saying in the Yerushalmi is standalone. So I'm not sure. I think you could go both ways on it. I'd really have to look at cognate Tosasim. Normally you don't really have so many on Beitza. I'll take a 1 minute academic break here, right? Is that the problem with Tosos, Shalanu, I mean the Tosos on the Daf, is the historical error of the printers thinking that they were putting the best Tosos that we had on the page, when in fact they put the worst edited Tosos on the page, and most Maseches is Tosos Tuch, which is as Tosasim go, a very unclear conglomeration of multiple generations worth of Balei Tosos, and the answers sort of get mixed in, and there isn't clarity. So if you sometimes when things are not so clear in Tosos, you have to look at the purer Tosasim, where the strata are clearer, right? I know as Ray Weider once said, Masha Asar Lanu be Bible criticism, Hitter Lanu be Talmud criticism, right? In the Bible, you can't say that there's multiple authors. In Talmud, we know there are. The same thing is for sure true in Tosfos scholarship, right? The Tosfos, we know there's 150 Balei Tosfos, whatever it is.
We once got yelled at for not doing that.
What?
We once got yelled at by Rav Aaron
for not doing it, right? You have to do that. It's sloppy just to say Tosfos holds and not to look at Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos Shams and Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and there was Arua and the Ravan and the Ravya and, etc., etc., etc.
But are there compilations for each?
So different Masechtos were luckier than others.
Right.
So often, if a Tosos isn't clear, so look at the Tosos Rosh is a bit clearer, but sometimes, especially ones that are influenced by the Germans, right, so you have the Orzer Ruah, the Ravon, the Rav Yah, all types of German, the Mordechai, the Hagos Maimini, all these Balei Tosos, Marami Rutenberg, all these Balei Tosos from Germany, and you can see that what Shito got conglomerated into our Tosfos, right? If you're interested, we finalized this week that we're bringing in the world expert on Tosfos for our dinner. So he'll be around. We're bringing in Kanterfogel, which will be fun. Rabbi Dr. Ephraim Kanterfogel, who's who I learned it from. But he's the world expert on Tosfos scholarship. So I'll have to look at a cognate Tosfos and see if I can figure it out. We don't have so many on Beitza, honestly. We have a Tosfos Rush. Cognate, meaning just another version of a Tosfos where you can, this is like our final for my final for Tosafists in graduate school was, we had a Tosfos which was hard to parse, right, and try to figure out all the strata. And we had to take 8 or 9 different versions of that Tosfos that appear in Shas, in the German Balei Tosfos, and in the purer Tosfos and like Tosfos Shams, where you actually get shitot that are quoted and figure out.
I have a Tosfos Rosh here if you want.
I don't remember if he said more here. We'll look at it. We'll look at it after. But that's the way to look at it is if you want to figure out what Tosfos is doing, it's not clear. Often what you'd look at it is the other Tosfos and try to reconstruct exactly what was going on in our Tosfos. There is this tragic letter that we have, right, where, Tosfos scholars just banged their head against the wall from the printers, I think from Bamberg, where he just said, yeah, we were so lucky that we got the best manuscript of Tosfos Tuch, and we rejected Tosfos Shans to put it on the page in favor of Tosfos Tuch. And it's like, no, Tosfos Shans is the best of all the Balei Tosfos, because it's the primary source. Like, Tosfos Shans is himself one of the the people writing Tosfos Tuch is a later compiler. Whatever. That leads to the somewhat, the often inevitability of unclarity in some Tosfos. Okay. Close academic parentheses.
Why don't he explain this steer between the Gemaras in a totally different way? Where on the first Gemara that we learned with putting extra bread in, why don't we just assume it's not all your own bread? In other words, we had the case with the soldiers and the other thing. And so maybe the heter is because he shared oven.
You could have.
You can't do all the baking.
You're right. You could have. I mean, it didn't, but I guess you could have.
That would.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Way.
I don't know. Okay, I gave you, so that took longer than I thought, but okay, fine. So you look at the sources here. Tosfos and Pesachim also comments on this, because the Gemara appears in Pesachim as well, not surprisingly. Beis Hillel Matirin, Tamei de Beis Hillel, Kedam Rinan, Maremis, Isha, Ofa, Taner, Malek, Kikaros, Afal, Bishen, Tzarech, Rak, Kikar, Echad, Aval, Lamalos, Hatanur, Pamacheres, Lekaman, Dushari. So the Tosfos and Pesachim just follows Rashi, and just says that Beis Hillel is just a function of the position of Rav Shimon Elazar. In terms of filling up an oven, and that's it. The Tzlach makes this very clear. It says, "Near the night of the Hop Pligi Beisham Beis Hillel, the Beisham I list Luhach the Rashba, meaning Rishim Ben Elazar, the Sfir Leishapas Nefes Yafel Lachin Asher Beisham I Pitin Gritzin, the Chazur Shema Yase Yoser Mitzarko, Beis Hillel Savri Kirashba Shapas Nefes Yafe Umuter Afil Yoser Mitzarko, Lachin Muter Lazar Ben Gritzin Ben Rikikin." Right? He says this is just a function of that Machlokas. Beisham I follows the Rashba. The Rav Shimon Elazar, and therefore he thinks that bread isn't baked better when there's more things there, and therefore they're very wary, or they don't want you baking more than you need, both in terms of quantity and in terms of thickness, however you want to understand it. And Beis Hillel follows the position of Rav Shimon Elazar and thinks there's no problem. The Ritva, number four, Kazva, Ritva Zal Danachon Lo Shaychi Adadi, the Ritva, like Tosfos, rejects the equation between the Machlokes of Rav Shimon Elazar and the position of the position of Beis Hillel, and he says they have nothing to do. Dahida hasam ba'osa yosher menatzarech atzarech va'afilo yine nashim harbe she'ein botorach kolkach Rishim ben Elazar shari mishum shvach milui hatan or vehilchoso kavosei. So the question in the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin is simply a question of whether you can bake more than you need, right? Here, what's the issue? Ha dahacha beino ofel atzarech lo bilvad. Here, we're talking about a case where you're only baking what you need. So what's even the machlok is? Why shouldn't you be able to bake a lot? To go into Yeshla Ochlan Harbe, right? It's a case where you have a lot of people eating at your house. The problem isn't the baking. The problem is the kneading. You don't have enough people to knead, right? It's just you have a few women, right, baking for 100 people. And Bishamai says, whoa, right? Like, you can't do that, right? It's just such a tircha, right? It's not that you can't have, you know, extra loaves baking per se. It's that you can't force a few women to you know, spend all the time baking for 100 people. But Shammai just, you can't do that.
You can't.
That big deal, right? But Shammai says you just can't do it, right? You just can't. You know, if you have 100 people, it's just not right. Okay. So again, so that's just a different way of understanding it.
You
okay,
you can't invite too many people over for Yontif, according to Beis
Shammai. I guess according to Beis Shammai, right? You have to get hired help or something, right?
A lot of wives,
right? A lot of wives, a lot of hired help, whatever it is. Okay, fine. Okay, so this took a little bit longer. So here, what we have left on this sheet. Basically, the main sugya we have here is the Pesach aspect of it, which is number 5 through 13. I'm trying if we start on it, or I give you one source about the... No, okay, we'll just start this. We have 20 minutes, so we'll start it. Okay, so let's go back to the Pesach issue, right? That's the Yom Tov issue.
No. Somehow I lost in the last 2 minutes.
What? Really? Wow. Really? How? That's amazing.
Okay.
Fine. So Pesach. So the Gemara had brought up a possibility that there was a machlokas about how thick you could make matzah, right? Beis Hillel had said a tefach. Beis Shammai had said even less than that, right? You can't even make it less than that. You have to make it thin. Presumably, as the Gemara implies, the problem is that when you make thick matzah, the chances that it'll become chametz are much greater because it takes longer to bake, it takes longer to knead, it takes longer to everything. So Beis Shammai says you need to make really thin matzah, and Beis Hillel says it doesn't have to be really thin, but it has to be a tefach or less. So, but once the Gemara rejects that interpretation of the discussion and moves to Yom Tov, so what does that mean? Like, what was our maskana therefore for Pesach? You can only make thin matzah, meaning everyone agrees you can only make thin matzah, everyone agrees you can make thick matzah. I mean, like, what exactly was the conclusion once we rejected the discussion about Pesach? So what was left, right? Halacha maisa, can you make thick matzah or can't you make thick matzah, right? What are you supposed to do? So this is a machlokas rishonim. If you look at number 5, the Rif says, uvitil matirin. Hani mili b'shar yomim tovim. Alimosa Pesach, otzer lemelash, ulemefa, yoser mechamesh, ruvam kemach. He said, the Rif says, the maskana of the Gemara is in fact that, yeah, for this may not have been our discussion at the end of the day, but on Pesach, you aren't allowed to bake a lot. And by a lot, he doesn't mean thickness. He means you can't make more than Chamesh Ram Kemach. You can't make more than a Shir Challah, which is not so much, at one time. You can only bake one Shir Challah at a time. You can't do these huge industrial bakings on Pesach, because if you do, things will become chametz.
You can't do, you mean the amount.
Yeah, so he means amount.
Oh,
right.
The number of...
Correct, right. Not number, it's how much you need at one time.
I need at one
right.
time.
Right. Well, we'll see that in a moment. We'll see that
but
that's...
But you could also worry that if you're making too many, you're not going to...
Correct, correct.
Right?
So he means... Now, we'll come exactly to what the Rif means, but the Rif learns from our Gemara that even Maskana, there are certain limitations on baking on Pesach. Specifically, he says you can't bake more than a Shir Challah at once. However exactly much that is, right, five... All right, Chamesh's Rivaim Kemach. Exactly how much that is, it's totally unclear. I mean, not totally unclear. It's unclear because Chazal talked in volume, and modern people talk less in volume and talk in weight, and therefore you look on all the websites, they try to convert things into weight, and it's a disaster. But it's really a sheer volume. Whatever exactly is, it's a few pounds of a flour. They'll give you different amounts of what it could be. It's like 4 pounds, 5 pounds. I forget exactly what they give for a sheer challah, but that's how much you can bake at once. So a lot of the Rishonim didn't understand what was going on. And I just gave you the summary of the Ritva, because trying to pound through that Balamor and Milchamos on this is, well, it's a challenge. But the Ritva boils it down. And the Ritva says, look, V'yeshet tamoa rabbeinu afasizah. Some people looked at the Rif and said, what is going on? Shekazah ba'alocha, it's all b'raisezu, v'hani mila b'shar yom tovim, v'pesach asher l'melesh t'ula meifa, yeser al chamesh v'vayim kemach v'od, v'chulei. Right, what is he talking about? Right, the Gemara already rejected this whole discussion. Right, the Gemara said there are no limitations on Pesach. It just happened to be Pesach that we were talking about. Right, why is the Rif concluding that there's a limitation on what you're allowed to bake on Pesach? That doesn't seem to emerge from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, in the end of the day. And that's the Balamor just rejected it and said, what are you talking about? We rejected this whole discussion. We don't think it's talking about Pesach. We think it's talking about Yom Tov. So what do you think there's a limitation on? Just, it's not. V'ramban kaza b'sifrob b'mlchamas Hashem, d'hai lishn d'ravasiz al perusha b'almahu, l'varure milsa. So the Ramban said that the Rif is just explaining things. What's he saying? Mishim diktani d'beisel matirin lefos pas meruba u'mashma k'moshe yirtza. He said, Beis Hillel said you're allowed to bake pas meruba, which implies you're allowed to bake whatever you want. Uperish maranzal, de lo tema de belisha hu de shari hachi. The Rif learned the Gemara this way. What did the Gemara say? That according to Beis Hillel, you can bake as much as you want. There's no limitation on how much you can bake. But that's not really what the first part of the Gemara was talking about. The first part of the Gemara was talking about kneading. Right, because there's two reasons why you might not be able to bake a lot on Pesach. One is that you can't bake a lot, and two is that you can't knead a lot at one time. The Gemara rejected the notion that there's any limitations on how much you can bake on Pesach. But the Ramban said, the Rif understood from the Gemara is that we never rejected the other assumption, which was that when you're baking, you have to do it in small quantities, because if you knead too much at once, you're not going to be kneading it fast enough. By the time you take each piece of it and you break it down into loaves, right? If you're kneading 20 cups of flour at once, 30 cups of flour at once, by the time you knead the whole thing, make each one into a loaf of bread, and get into the oven, it's going to rise. It's going to become chametz. And that we never rejected. There's no limitation on how much you can bake, right? It's just a limitation on how much you can knead at a given time. You can do it in multiple rounds if you want, right? But kneading, you have to limit it. That the Rif learned from our Gemara. He said, it's impossible to say that. What the Ramban says, that the Rif understood, that the Gemara's Havamina, was that on Pesach, you're limited how much you can bake. That the Gemara rejected. So there's no reason to limit how much you're allowed to bake on Pesach any more than there would be on a regular Yom Tov. But there is a reason, Lamaskana, and he said this is Meduyak in the Rif. The Rif didn't say it's usher to bake more. He says it's usher to knead more, right? Because on Pesach, we're worried that if you are kneading too much at a time, it's going to take too much time to get that thing in the oven. So the Rif said, yes, the maskana of our Gemara is that you can't knead too much at once. Lavade dafia dafka sharu. Non shanashim losha kolachat vachat kishir. V'isha achas maska vofe lukulan. V'lahatir lisha gedola bepesach lahoru beisel kol. The beisel would never have told you that if one person is baking, that person can knead as much as they want at one given time and be personally responsible for getting it all in the oven in time. It's a physical impossibility. V'od v'pnei shenemar ala b'raisa zu. So the Ritva notes that the Balamor looked at this and said, he thinks what the Rif means is you can't bake too much on Pesach. And the Balamor says it can't be. The Gemara rejected any limitations on baking on Pesach. The Ramban says, no, that's not how the Rif learned the Gemara. The Rif learned the Gemara that, yes, we rejected any limitation on how much you can bake on Pesach, but we accepted a limitation on how much you can knead in one sitting on Pesach because of chametz. Now, this doesn't tell us how much you're allowed to bake. It doesn't tell you how thick things are that you're allowed to bake. It just tells you how much you can make at one given time. Now, it doesn't tell you whether that five quarters, right, that chamesh revayim kemach, whether you can make that into one big loaf and it can be thick. It doesn't tell you if it can be thin, right? The Rif just doesn't weigh in on that. So that's what the Rif learns from our Gemara, right? The Rif learns from our Gemara that there are no limitations on baking. There is a limitation on how much you can eat at one time. At least that's how it's understood by the Mulchamos. Okay. But if that's the case, then our Gemara tells us nothing about what type of bread you're allowed to make on Pesach. Right, or what type of non-bread, right? What type of matzah you're allowed on Pesach? How thick? How thin? It just doesn't tell you. It just tells you, right, the process that you have to use to make it. It doesn't tell you what that matzah is supposed to look like. But is there another way of reading our Gemara, right? The Gemara clearly had started off with a Hava Mina, that there might be a limitation on what your matzah is supposed to look like on Pesach. Is any of that maintained in the Maskana? The Rif said no. Right? The Rif said, at least under the Muhammad, there's no such limitation. But that's not the only voice. If you look at number 7, the Rashba says, Im Amru Bizrizin, Yomru Bishainin's reason, Mehasha Minan, the Osir Lazis Pas Ava Tefach Bepesach. He said, no, we actually in the Maskana do maintain this, right? He said, when the Gemara said, Im Amru Bizrizin, Yomru Baino's reason, Im Amru Bitpas, Bitanur Ava, Bitanur Cham, Yomru Bitanur Tom Nenes, right? Was that the way the Rif read that is that the Gemara just rejected this discussion and said, you know, how much you're allowed to bake, how thick you're allowed to bake, depends on circumstances, there's no limitations. Our Gemara is about how much you can knead at a given time. The Rashba said, no, it goes the other way. When the Gemara said, you know, it depends on how alacritous you are, it depends on how hot your oven is, it depends on all that stuff, it's not doing that lukula, it's doing that lachumra. Right? It's telling you that the theoretical biggest that you could ever make matzah is a tefach thick. But you can only even make it a tefach thick if you have a really hot oven, you have people working really fast, and you're doing it really quickly, because otherwise you have to make your matzah really thin. Because a tefach matzah made wrong is very close to chametz. I mean, we don't fully reject it, right? The point of those questions was to highlight that you can't, as a blanket kula, allow people to bake up to a tefach. According to the Rif, it seems like you can bake matzah up to a tefach. The Rashba says, no, the maskana of the Gemara is that we don't let you do that.
We both can make Beit Shammai.
Right? So he said, no, because even Beis Hillel said that. Beis Hillel said you can't, right? Beis Shammai says you can make it much smaller, right? And Beis Hillel says you can make it a tefach. The Rashba says all those questions.
You can make a tefach, but not more. And here he's saying you can't make that tefach.
Correct, because he said all those questions were telling you that even Beis Hillel was only illustrating a theoretical possibility, right? That if you had the right circumstances, the right people, the right oven, the right everything, you could make a tefach.
And we can't say that, we have to say that that means you can't do it. We can't say that what he's telling us to do is that you have to be careful. that you have to raise people.
So you could, right? So that's what I said. So this is the problem, is how do you emerge from the Gemara? The Rif rejects it totally. He says, this has nothing to do with it, it has to do with Lisha. The Rajba says, no, we actually maintain Lamaskana, that the theoretical largest is a Tefach, but all those questions tell us that, yeah, Lamaisa, what you have to do is make it thinner. How thin? Mm-hmm. What?
But it's not holding like Beit Shammai when we say it's less than a tefach. It's holding by the discussion.
Right. Meaning Beit Shammai says you can never make it that thick. Meaning Beit Shammai says you can never make it that thick.
The way he understands it, Beit Hillel also doesn't think.
No, Beit Hillel says you almost never can. Right. That's what he's saying. Is that practically you can't.
But he says Asur Lasot Pat Ava Tefach.
Right.
But
and he says how much? So how much? How thick could you make it? He says Velo Is Barish Bigamarad Kamashari. The called David Lurikikin Shavers. He said, now I don't know. It's clear that Beit Shammai thinks you need to make it thinner than Beit Hillel does. But he said, but the Gemara never tells you how Limaskana, where Beit Shammai draws his line and where Beit Hillel draws his line. He just assumes it's less than a tefach. How much less than a tefach, he doesn't tell you. Therefore, the Rajba solution is, make it as thin as you can. Right?
Does this have anything to do with Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? The way that I thought I understood what he's saying is the Gemara starts off with an argument Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. As a side note, as part of discussion, it brings in about the Lecha Mishnah, and it talks about this. And then he says, from that side discussion, so
we learn
the actual argument of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel has nothing to do with Pesach, and it just says, from that side discussion,
right,
we're able to learn something. But that what we learn has nothing...
Right, meaning the original positions we attributed to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are... I mean, either they're true or they're not true, but it doesn't matter. The point is that even Beit Hillel, based on the qualifications of the ensuing discussion of the Gemara, says that a tefach might be the maximum theoretical possibility of matzah, but realistically you can never get to that point. That's what the Rosh was learning.
That's what I'm not sure if he's saying. I think that has nothing to do with Pesach, and that only has to do with the amount of Elisha, and he's just saying this other thing could be taken outside of the discussion and viewed and learned halacha from it.
I don't know, because he's commenting on the line of Im Amru B's reason, Yom Rubeinu's reason.
Right, which has nothing to do with Beit Shammai Beit Hillel.
That's what you mean. Yeah, I mean, this may be the... Well, right, I mean, it's not clear whether Beit Hillel never weighed in on this at all.
Right.
Right? Or Beit Hillel weighed in on it, but that's not the issue of our machlokas, because it's not a clean...
Right. I'm just trying to tackle what Sam was saying. Is he saying we're holding like Beit
Shammai? No, we're not... Right, we're not passing a Beit Shammai. Meaning, we're either... This is actually what Beit Hillel said in light of the qualification of the Gemara, or the Gemara's qualifying questions were meant to say that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai never really talked about this. We just are presenting as independent halacha. One way or another,
right.
What the Rajba thinks is that halacha l'maisa, whoever it is who's talking, Beit Hillel, an interpretation of Beit Hillel, an independent discussion of the Gemara, tefach was the theoretical maximum, but a practical maximum is lower than that. Right? That's what the Rajba concludes from our Gemara. The Ritva... As well, kaven dapikte mi tefach. The clear thing is that you can't make it a tefach. Lemaisa, v'lo ukman lo gemara shirachrina lehetera listen lemevet pasav aklal. But the Gemara didn't tell us right of lower limit. It just said a tefach you can't, and where you draw the line, I don't know. V'zeu shenag olam lasses matzah shel chovadaka, and that's why our matzahs are thin. Mikol makom efshar debidi avad lo also a tefach, but maybe bidi eved. It can be up to a tefach, adkan kasev b'shem hara'azal. So, the Ritva follows a similar direction as the Rajba, sort of, right? I mean, the Rajba seems to think that a tefach is really off-limits, right? It's less. He just doesn't know how much less. The Ritva thinks that even a tefach is not off-limits, bidyeved. But lechadchila, he agrees, right? The Rajba seems to say that bidyeved, if it actually reaches a tefach, it's a problem. The Ritva says, no, at a tefach itself, bidyeved, that's fine, but it's not ideal. He agrees with the Rajba that the upshot of the Gemara is that we're moving away from really, really thick matzah. How much away, neither the Ritva nor the Rajba, the Ra, have any idea exactly how far we've moved. Okay, so just to summarize where we are, though, and then we'll have to continue next week. Right, we have this discussion about Pesach, which... Right, the Gemara ends up moving into a Yom Tov discussion, but it has this whole discussion in the middle about Pesach, and the Rishonim struggle with how much of it is accepted l'alacha. So the Rif seems to reject that this Gemara, the way that it's understood by the Ramban, reject that there's any limitation on how you bake it. The only question is how you knead it. Right, that's the Rif's discussion. How thick your matzah can be, he doesn't seem to care. He just seems to say that discussion vanished into thin air. You can make matzah as thick as you want. The Rajba, the Ra'ah, the Ritva say no. that part of the discussion was maintained. It's true, l'matzkana, that there's some limit. What it is exactly is unclear, and how thick your matzah can be. The Rajba thinks that you can't make it a tefach. You have to make it thinner. How much thinner? He doesn't know. The Ritva thinks, the lesson of our Gemara is that, like that position attributed to Beis Hillel, you can make it up to a tefach b'di'eved, but all those questions the Gemara tell you that that's not l'chatchila. You're supposed to make it thin. L'halacha, therefore, both the Rajba and the Ritva think that ideally, or maybe out of necessity, one has to make thinner matzot. How thin? Unclear. But that is where we stand with the Rajba and the Ritva. Next week we'll see the Torah, Shulchan Aruch, Mr. Brewer. We'll see how we get this halacha l'maisa, how we actually paskin on this issue. Okay.